but I'm working to make it better with a six of Miller High.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Two Beers In.
Two Beers In, I'm Cody Lindquist.
I'm Charlie Todd.
And if you're following us for the first time, listening to this for the first time, we have a live stage show at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater once a month. We record it as a podcast, and we've decided to, because the election is heating up and there's more to talk about than once a month, we decided to supplement it and have some weekly podcasts here in our home.
Yeah, so this is an extra episode. It's a bonus episode. Come see our next live show at UCB East on March 29th at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Should be really fun. The premise of the show, we're going to chug two beers tonight and then have a tipsy political roundtable with our guest. We should introduce.
Yeah, I'm really excited. We have two very special guests. A couple of friends of ours on Facebook have been just going at it. One is feeling the burn, and one is ready for Hillary. And Charlie and I are both undecided, so we thought, well, we'll just have our friends on, talk about it, and then maybe you and I can make a decision about who we want to vote for.
It is possible that you guys could get two votes for your candidate.
Ooh, wow. Yummy, yummy.
So we should introduce these guys. Josh Patton, writer for Saturday Night Live, performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. You can see him on Saturday nights with Grandma's Ashes. Mm-hmm. And Michael Caine, a performer at the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater with the group What I Did for Love. Legendary performer. Both of these guys, they both won cage match championships
also,
in the past.
The other competition is now you have to decide whose Saturday night show you want to see.
That's right.
Josh's or Michael's.
Yeah, Michael's at UCB or Josh's on NBC.
That's true. That's true. Yeah.
You guys have kind of been very vocal on Facebook. I feel like about a month ago, the wall sort of broke and people took the gloves off on Facebook, our Democrat friends. And all of a sudden, it's really been heating up. So I can't wait to have you guys sort of present your case here in real life.
Before we get started talking about anything, the number one thing we must do is drink. Today we are going to be drinking Pinner, which is a Pinner Throwback IPA from Oscar Blues Brewery in North Carolina.
It's a session IPA.
Delicious. We're really excited. Michael Caine does not want to drink beer and has asked us if we would allow him to do shots of tequila. So we said, hey, that sounds like if you're willing to do that, good for you. We will always make an exception on whatever drinks people want to do as long as it's two. So
we're going to pause the recording here and take a couple of minutes. And we can open these beers so our audience can hear them. Oh, now you know we're really doing it. You don't want to hear us drink for 3 minutes, but we're going to pause. And when we come back, we're going to be tipsy and we're going to have a political roundtable.
Okay,
we're back. Thank you so much.
Perfect.
Josh.
In case anybody was thinking we weren't drunk, we did, in fact. We were discussing how much we burp on this podcast.
So, yeah. So let's check in. How do you guys feel? Josh, how do you feel
pretty,
after chugging two beers?
Pretty bad. I'm 35. I haven't done that in a very long time. I probably haven't chugged two beers since college, and I feel pretty tipsy, pretty burpy, pretty bloated.
It really is. I feel like people don't realize that it is a thing. Like, it does get the alcohol into your system much quicker.
Yeah.
And, like, drinking two beers seems like not a big deal, but if you chug them, you're tipsy.
You know what we need to do? We need to have a 20-year-old on this podcast, and then they'll just chug two beers and be like, I'm fine.
Yeah, I'm going to go play sports.
Yeah. Vine this.
Mike, how do you feel?
I feel drunk. I actually feel drunk. Like looking around the room, I'm like, oh, I see now that I'm drunk.
And you also don't drink, really.
I don't drink. The only thing that I do drink on very rare occasions is I will like sip tequila at a party where it feels like alcohol is mandatory. Because that feels like a thing where like people don't bug you if you're drinking tequila.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, he's hardcore.
Yeah, I won't bug that guy.
We appreciate you being a rare drinker, choosing tonight to be a night to do
that. This is so important to me.
And by parties where alcohol is mandatory, you mean orgies.
Yeah, like Eyes Wide Shut kind
Eyes Wide Shut, you sip tequila.
We did gloss over that, just being a thing like, yeah, we know mandatory alcohol parties. Yeah. We've all been to those.
Fuck you guys.
You know, like, literally, like, you and your wife, Carrie, just like sitting in an Eyes Wide Shut party, sipping tequila.
Right.
Yep.
And this is so awkward.
Gotta get a babysitter or go on an Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yeah, just pointing from far side. I think I know that guy.
Yeah. All right. So I'd like to start the podcast off with opening statements. And I just want to give you guys an opportunity. It can be 10 seconds. It can be a minute of just to sum up why you're voting, why you're supporting the candidate you're supporting.
Just remember, two votes are at stake here, Charlie and I.
So, Josh, I'll let you go first. Why are you supporting Hillary Clinton?
Well, I'm supporting Hillary Clinton, at least for now. I haven't voted yet. Right. The New York primary is in April, when your votes will really matter. And if you're not registered, go register to vote at registertovote.org.
Yes.
Right?
Hello.
Nice.
Oh,
nice.
Man. I want to thank our hosts and just get some cheap points to start off. No, I'm planning on voting for Hillary because I think she'll be a fantastic president. I think she's very prepared for the job. I think she spent her whole life, around power, in power, and has used that to positively affect the lives of people who could use the government's help and could want the system that we have set up to be on their side. And I think that Hillary Clinton is good at doing that. She knows how to do it. And I'm genuinely very excited to see what she'll do as president, because I think Barack Obama's done a great job as president, and I would like to see that continue. Mm-hmm. And I think Hillary's in the best position to do that. The third reason, like longer term, is I think that it would be wonderful to have a female president because
what?
That was Michael Caine. That was
the only woman in the room right
now.
Yeah.
That was not because of like what it would mean for the next 8 years, but what it would mean for like a 5-year-old girl now, 40 years down the line. I think our country would be a lot better off. And even, you know, now I think our country would be a lot better off. For other political candidates who are female who are thinking about getting into the arena, they have a barrier to overcome now. And I think if we had a female president, that barrier wouldn't exist and our government would look a lot more like the people.
Wow. Okay, so...
I'm so much drunker than everyone.
Now, tell us, now it's your turn, and tell us why you don't want your daughter to have Hillary Clinton as a president.
Yeah, I feel like my daughter's already got too much confidence. She's 3. It's just like it would be too much. For me, I guess the reason that I support Bernie now, and I think I would support Hillary, to be clear. I think that's a type of Bernie supporter, but I would support Hillary if she got the nomination. But prior to that, I support Bernie because I think he is a candidate who represents what the kind of thing that government ought to be. A criticism that I think he frequently gets is that he won't work within the system quite as well as Hillary will. And I think for a lot of people, the system doesn't work. So someone who has the point of view and experience decades of experience in Congress, who can also then, who also has a belief that government needs to be different and like drastically different. Mm-hmm. And that to me is appealing.
Wow. So both of you towards the end, I was like, yes. So Charlie's getting mad at me because I'm putting my hands on the table.
If we had a female president, this wouldn't.
Exactly. Thank you. No, but this is really interesting because I feel like Charlie and I were not the same person, but I'm referring to him because I feel like we have the same opinion because we mostly just drink beer and watch MSNBC by ourselves in our home while our child sleeps. But I feel like both of those, the ending statements of both of your arguments really appeal to me. Part of the, my favorite thing about Hillary is that she's a woman. And I love Hillary Clinton, and I think that she's a strong woman. I think she's, by virtue of being around the system for a really long time, you know, has certain battle scars. Mm-hmm. That...
And she's also been the only woman in the room at so many points
exactly,
in her life.
Exactly.
Which is important.
And she was
the only woman when OBL was murdered.
Osama bin Laden?
Yeah.
When Osama bin Laden was murdered?
Yeah. Was she the only one in that picture? I think she might have been.
Very
possible.
I don't know.
But and part of me roots for Hillary because I remember, I mean, I was young when Clinton was first elected, but I remember them calling her a bitch. And like as a 12-year-old, you know, girl, hearing that she was a bitch, she's, you know, like Hillary's going to rule the roost and Clinton just follows what she says, blah, blah, blah. That does affect you to hear that stuff about her. So I stand up for her because I know she's been through it, you know?
Yeah.
But I do, when I hear your argument about Bernie, I completely agree too. No, oh, I guys. Do. You're thank not you a so complete much. Drunken mess. You're making good points. Yeah. I agree that, like, I do lean towards democratic socialism, and Bernie Sanders is so above the fray when it comes to, you know, he's a principled person that never gives in to the politics. So I feel both of those arguments. Hmm. What stood out to you, Charlie, when you were listening?
Well, just to confirm, so Mike, you say you will vote for Hillary Clinton if she becomes a Democratic nominee.
Yeah, she wins
Josh,
the nomination.
Josh, same for you. You vote for Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a registered Democrat. And,
yeah,
guys.
Of course.
Can we all agree? Let's just, if you are listening to this and you are saying that you will not vote for the Democratic nominee, let's just make it clear. Trump is probably going to be the Republican nominee.
It seems like that's going to happen.
That is definitely going to happen. More important than that, doesn't matter if it's Trump. Rubio and Cruz
are true.
Just as scary. And Kasich is like slightly less scary.
I'm from Ohio. He's, yes.
And in some ways, Rubio and Cruz are actually, I mean, like, more scary than
Trump. I agree with 30% of what Trump says. The Iraq war was a terrible idea. George Bush was a bad president.
Yeah. Mexico's going to pay for that wall.
Totally. Like, who else would pay for it? Who else?
Well, I think the candidates are reflective of the Democratic Party. Like the Republican Party has a lot of schisms right now.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party basically has two, which is
And on issues, it's not a big schism.
And it's issues, but it's basically just like sort of how to get there, pragmatism versus idealism.
I mean,
very broad way of saying it, but they're both very attractive and things that people can rally behind.
But I do think, no matter what, we are so lucky that Bernie is in the race, regardless if he gets the nomination or not. He has pulled Hillary so far left, and that's really good for our party, really good for our country. And I'm excited that, you know, we're talking about real important issues.
Yeah, I also think that if he's definitely changed the way that campaigning is done in terms of the tone of the campaign. The campaigns are definitely turning negative. You can see that it feels like almost irrevocably drawn toward like the black hole of negativity.
But not as dirty as it was Hillary
Obama.
Not
even close. And I think that if, this is probably segueing to a topic maybe earlier than you want to, but if Sanders were the nominee against Trump, I think that the way that Sanders campaigns would be in stark relief to like what it is that Trump does.
Oh, yeah.
But how do you think you beat Trump? Because Cody and I were talking about this earlier tonight, and we think that the reason that Cruz and Rubio are not beating him is they're not really going after him on the same level. You know, they're criticizing
a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah, they're criticizing his policy position, like bringing up like eminent domain, and like his supporters don't care about that at all.
Nah,
they don't know policy.
Yeah,
like you have to. I think like if you're imagining Bernie or Hillary in a debate with Trump, I think that person has to be able to say, this man is a clown. He's a charlatan. Did you hear what he just said? He said nothing. He said, we're gonna make it great. We're gonna win so much. That means nothing. Like. And,
Hillary,
and these guys aren't
Hillary
saying
could
that.
Do.
But I think you're right that Hillary would be a more aggressive debater against Trump in terms of like pointing out his particular weakness.
She would go after his family. I believe she would. I believe she would be like, gloves off. You're a fuck. You have a small dick. I feel like it would get to that point. She would call him out on his tiny little dick.
Tiny penis.
She would do it.
I think that
that's what I like.
The concern with Hillary running against Trump is that the attacks that he levies against everyone that he's been running against. And this has started to become, actually today, or maybe yesterday, I've just started to see a lot of articles say this, that the things that he attacks his peers, so to speak, on the Republican stage with, he will also use those things to attack Hillary, namely the idea that she's just a mouthpiece for whoever it is that's giving her money. And I don't know that that's true, but
it
is
has been effective.
But it is a thing that concerns.
Do you not know that that's true, or do you think that that's true, or do you not think that that's true?
I think that it is very possible that it's true, and I also think, not that she doesn't have her own ideas, and not that she's not, Hillary Clinton is like possibly the most qualified person ever to run for president.
Yeah, she'd be the first Secretary of State, I think, since like Buchanan?
Since there were like five people in the entire government.
Yeah, who was
like
a terrible president.
Secretary of
I think
State
there's like been
president.
Four who were Secretary of State and then president. And I think Hillary Clinton would be the fifth, but it's the first definitely since Lincoln.
But
Which is like the president.
Jefferson? Was Jefferson one, maybe?
I don't think Jefferson was Secretary of State.
I think Adams was. I think Adams was the first. John Adams was the first Secretary of State. Yeah. Anyway,
we're all gonna have to Google this after this.
Yeah, we're all making up.
This is slightly off topic, but if Hillary does get the nomination, we will have the single most qualified person to be president running against the single most unqualified person to be president in the history of the United States.
I mean, we're taking it sort of as a foregone conclusion that Trump will be the nominee, but it really does seem possible.
At this point, it seems impossible. The only way he can lose is if there's a contested convention.
A brokered convention.
Yeah,
it's really interesting to watch. I will say that as maybe the one person here who realizes that podcasts are archived for future use, and that people might listen to this after January 20th, 2017, that I think President Trump has some great ideas, and I don't want to be thrown into one of his Muslim labor camps.
Because you're Muslim, Judge Pat.
What? I'm sure he'll find a way to throw me into one.
We're moving to Canada. Yeah. I think Trump, if we want to talk about Trump's potential ammunition versus either candidate, I think he can say, like, I'm a billionaire, I'm not bought, Hillary's bought, Goldman Sachs,
and not only that, like, the way that Trump operates is very, I'm sorry to interrupt you, is very personal, so I feel like also you'll see him being, like, that picture of Hillary at his wedding, that to me will be, that'll be like a centerpiece of the campaign. He'll be like, I've already bought Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's already been at, like, she's...
But he's the one that invited her. Like, couldn't she use that and say, you say you're a conservative, you invited me to your wedding?
Yeah, I
heard her say today even, like, you know, Trump used to be, like, an affable, fun person, and, like, referring to, like, that time period, and he turned into Hitler 2.0.
So, anyway, Trump's winning by us talking about him.
That's
by
true.
By really taking over this conversation. That yeah, because true. It doesn't matter, like, honestly, there are a lot of arguments about who would be a better candidate in the general election. I happen to think that both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton have serious electability issues.
I wish there
was an option three, which was a
combination
a woman who, like, you know, doesn't have the baggage that Hillary Clinton has. I don't think it's Elizabeth Warren.
Does she have baggage? What baggage? When you say baggage, what do you mean? Do you mean because from my experience,
a bunch of trumped up bullshit scandals that have accumulated over 20 years, and none of them mean anything,
right?
But it's just in the air of the people.
It's basically my theory is that, or not my theory. What I think happens is with Hillary Clinton, and it happened when she ran for a Senate in New York. It even happened when she ran for president because people didn't know her. Most of what people know about Hillary Clinton, they have heard their parents grumble in the 90s.
Right.
Heard their dad say, like, oh, I'm real uppity. That's what they know about Hillary Clinton, and they know what they're in. And then when people sit down and actually watch Hillary Clinton, when they see her in a debate, when they see her give a speech, they're like, not that bad, which I think is very positive because, like, she has very high negatives. Donald Trump has very high negatives. I think Donald Trump comes off bad the more times you see him.
But that first debate between Hillary and Bernie that we all watched, I think it was actually the first one. Like, everybody was like, oh, wow. She knows an answer to every question.
She's great. She's a very well prepared.
I think that was like two days after the Benghazi hearings, where everybody was saying, like, this is the best 48 hours in Hillary's career.
Well,
it was like she was so prepared. She was so poised. She knew an answer to everything.
Yeah, she has to be because she is behind the eight ball already.
But if electability is an issue, the general population right now is swinging against any politician. Like,
that's
the
true.
Reason Trump is winning is because he's not a politician, because he's not prepared.
Yeah.
They want him to just be like, I don't know, but we're going to do it.
Yeah,
is the general population against that, or is 40% of the Republican Party against
it? I think it feels like it's a throw the bums out type year.
Yeah,
but just to be clear,
stock market's soaring, unemployment's down. Like, why?
I'm the person who's on Hillary's side.
I'm the person who's on Hillary's side,
and I feel like I'm the only person who, like, I think that Hillary Clinton is the only candidate who leads with the fact that things are fine. Things are going well.
Yeah.
Let's do more of it.
Are things fine? Do you guys agree with that?
I think Obama's been a very good president.
I mean, you agree there's structural problems with.
I think that Obama has been a very good president. Sort of like the idea that Obama has worked within the system, right? So he ran single payer with something we thought he was going to try and push. He was going to close Gitmo.
All right, at least a public option.
Yeah, yep. So
nobody thought he would push single payer. He never said that.
Sorry, public option. But these are things that we thought would happen, right?
Right.
And and eventually he was confronted with the reality of what it is to govern.
Right.
And it became seemingly impossible for him to do those things. So within the realm within which he has to govern, I think he did an incredible job. He's been a great president.
So here's my question for you.
Yeah.
Because that is my biggest problem with Bernie. If Obama did the best he could within the parameters of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Obama is the epitome of what we want a hopeful, young, inspiring candidate to be, right? Like, that's why we voted for him. what does Bernie have that's different than Obama that he can get more done? And that's my biggest problem is like, sure, Bernie seems great. He seems to be selling exactly what Obama was selling in a way, although I think Obama is way more moderate than we all thought he was. And not because, just because we had hoped he was something more.
He's more moderate than he's accused of being.
Exactly, exactly. So
he's, wait, what?
No, I'm saying that the Republicans paint him to be a far left person.
He's very moderate.
Centrist. He's like slightly center.
Oh, I would say the Democrats paint him as a sellout centrist, and he's way more left than that.
I think
he's done a fantastic job. I think Barack Obama's like
you're saying that he's left philosophically, but has governed as best he can.
I can't imagine a president doing more for progressive causes than Barack Obama.
And I think that's the argument.
But
the argument is between like, can you do it or can you not?
Yeah. And that's my point about Bernie. That Bernie, you know, as a liberal, I agree with everything he's saying, but I don't believe that he can get any more done than Obama. I don't think he can get anywhere near as much done as Obama because Obama had this wave of inspiration. And Bernie has it, and I'm inspired by his message, but Obama's cool as fuck.
Yeah,
and,
I think you're, I mean.
So what do you think Bernie has that Obama didn't have that he's going to be able to seal the deal?
I think it's a fair question. The answer is effectively nothing. I think the thing that he needs to have in order for his agenda to take hold is for there to be like
a
political uprising.
Yeah.
Right. What does that mean?
It means that people go to the polls. It means that young Democrats go to the polls and say, hey, you know what? I've been sitting at home playing Xbox all day, but instead this time I'm coming out.
They show up again in 2018.
Yes, they're going to have to.
We didn't do it for Obama.
And that is a huge problem. If that doesn't happen, I think everybody is probably right. If Bernie Sanders becomes president, everything will be as obstructionist as it has ever been.
Okay,
let me say this one point. Here's where I am on Bernie versus Hillary broadly. If you told me that on January 20th next year, Bernie Sanders was president, I would be so excited and I would completely be on his team. Because if that happens, that means we had this unbelievably crazy political revolution where millions of people who have never voted all came together and we rised up and we definitely took back the Senate and we maybe even took back the House and we're going to change our country permanently. But my problem is that I don't think that's going to happen. Therefore, I'm more likely to
support Hillary because
I think Hillary has the best chance of winning and it being Obama's third term and having incremental
change. That's like the fault line between Hillary and Bernie supporters, I think, right? It's like this tiny crack, but it goes way fucking deep.
Very deep, yeah.
And to me, to me, that's the whole thing. For me, I have to believe that we can change the way we are governed. I have to believe that. Like, to me, Trump is an example of what will happen if we keep going the way that we're going.
Mm-hmm.
It's only a matter of time to me before you get a Trump in the White House.
Really?
To me, it feels like that's the kind of person.
But we had an Obama.
Yeah, but I feel like what's happening is that the country is splitting further and further apart. And a lot of that. I was on the subway. This is an anecdote for my fans. I was on the subway.
Oh, a legendary Michael Caine anecdote.
I was on the subway.
Wait, I want to say this is Oscar winner Michael Caine.
Yeah, Oscar winner Michael Caine.
I sound very different.
Yeah, he still takes the subway. He's just like us.
I was on the subway a week ago or last week sometime, and there was this dude singing on the subway who was incredible. This older black man, and he sang, and he was so great, and like everybody on the train gave him money.
And that man was Barack Obama.
And that man
was President Barack
was
Obama.
Was Clarence Thomas. The train stopped between stations. So he had like done his shtick, but his time was up. So he just kept talking. And what he ended up doing was giving a speech about how he was going to vote for Donald Trump. And half the people in the car were like, I don't know, can I get my money back?
Exactly.
And they didn't say it to him, but that's what they were thinking.
Shit. It was a Make America Great Again hat, so they should have known.
They thought it was ironic.
Yeah.
But I worry that people who feel systematically disenfranchised by the government will look for anyone to say, hey, pull me out of here.
But that's what they're doing with Bernie, don't you feel?
I do feel that, but I'm saying that you're looking at two versions of people who appeal to the same group. One is the kind that's Bernie Sanders, who's like, I'm coming from the ground up. I'm going to try and help you through social programs. And the other one is a billionaire, like a self-funded billionaire who historically has not shown a lot of care for, well, I mean, for anyone other than himself. So to me, if we aren't ever going to get, and it doesn't have to be Bernie Sanders, but if we aren't ever going to try as a country to have someone who's going to stick up for those people economically, not that Hillary Clinton is running on a platform of obliterating the poor,
right.
But if we're not going to have someone who's who's dedicated to that on our side, the other side is going to have someone who runs that way.
Well, can I ask a question of you real quick?
Yes, please, please do.
How does, because I do agree, I think like a Trump is possible because everybody, the way we communicate is within bubbles.
Yeah.
It's in Facebook. It's with people we already agree with.
Honestly, this is why you guys have been so on my radar on Facebook, is this the first time in the history of Facebook that I've seen my friends fight.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's you two guys and it's Travis Helwig and it's Anthony King and it's Lauren Adams. And it's just like, I've got friends, Jim Santangeli on the Bernie side and friends on the Hillary side and they're fighting. And I'm like, but my friends always agree with each other. Yeah. My Facebook feed is people just saying like, yes, yes, me too. So it's interesting.
We're in that. How, my question to you, is it like we're in that bubble? To get out of that bubble mentality, it feels to me like when Bernie Sanders accuses people who, and I think that he does this generally, I'm talking more of his supporters when I say this, but I think
not Bernie Bros.
I think every Bernie Sanders supporter, because he's made it a big part of his campaign. It's the thing that Hillary called an artful smear. When you complain and say that people's motivations are untrue because they're bought and paid for, how does that not add to the two middle fingers up, fuck you, Donald Trump cynicism?
What do you mean by that? Like, what do you...
It's basically saying that the system doesn't work for anybody. I would argue that the system does work for many, many people.
I don't think the system doesn't work for anybody. I think it works for a lot of people. But I think there are also other people who historically are going, oh, geez, it seems to never work out for me. Like, I do this, I vote Obama into the White House, and I'm like, and it still didn't do it for me. Right, so I think that...
Were they not one of, like, the 10 million people who got a job or the 19 million who got health insurance?
Maybe.
I mean, there are many... Might. But like, there's such a doom and gloom from the Bernie Sanders campaign that, like, strikes me as, like...
But I think more importantly with those people were they one of the people that voted in 2010 and 2014, too?
No, because they called him a sellout. People were calling Barack Obama a sellout before he took office.
Sure.
When he asked Rick Warren... Who was
that's the conservative pastor.
The conservative pastor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When he asked him to give the what's the religious term,
benediction
at his inaugural, people flipped out and called him a sellout, and he's not what he says he was, because that's what people who value purity over results do.
But I'm also the biggest Obama fan in the room, I think. Maybe Cody's bigger. I don't know.
I mean, I'm a big fan.
But I love Obama. Let me say that. I love Obama.
Actually, I want to marry Michelle Obama.
I want to marry Obama himself. So I think I went.
Can I say this about Obama? Yeah. I love him. He's great. He named his dog Bo, which are his initials, and that's fucking stupid.
Unlike Hillary Clinton.
That's the stupidest thing.
It's spelled B-O.
Unlike Hillary Clinton, who had a cat named Isis.
Cat named Isis.
Is that true?
Yeah.
In the White House?
No, not
in
the White House. Like way back in the day.
When she was grown up, yeah.
But doesn't it mean like Egyptian cat or something?
I don't know what it means. It's just funny.
No, it means the Islamic State.
She named her cat the acronym
but they,
ISIL.
But they called her ISIL.
I'm interrupting, but my quick point on Obama, and I think I love him more than you guys, but I think his biggest weakness is he underestimated how much of a douchebag Mitch McConnell was, how much of a douchebag John Boehner was. Like, I think he underestimated, like, all of his attempts to, like, I'm going to cross the aisle and shake hands, maybe including this Rick Warren thing, was like, and even, like, maybe he strategically did the Supreme Court thing by acting like, maybe I'll nominate a Republican with Brian Sandoval this week. But I wish he would have been, like, on day one, like,
no.
I got the majorities, and I'm going full force and
I
fuck
guess,
all y'all.
But
those guys never gave him any respect.
What? It's not about that. What Obama, and this is why I think Obama is different, and this is part of my criticism for Bernie is because I think Obama doesn't do that. He doesn't reach across the aisle necessarily because he thinks Mitch McConnell is going to shake his hand back. He does it because he believes he's governing for the whole country. And that's more what Josh is talking about. He's trying to get out of his bubble. He realizes that he was elected by progressives and liberals, but he rules the whole country.
And so he's trying to reach
across the aisle, and we need more of that.
And that's why I don't think
Obama is a sellout at all. I think he was a pragmatist, particularly with healthcare. He was like, the thing I wanted to do, it's not going to happen. I got to do something. I'm going to do this.
Yeah,
I respect that.
I like Charlie. I see what you're saying, but I don't think he could have like gone in there and said like, "I fuck the Republicans, let's do this." I don't think that would have gotten a public option in healthcare.
probably.
Like, I don't see how that would have actually, like...
He did that as a nod to the people that didn't vote for him. I think he did that for the American public. That being said, the American public is racist,
suck.
And they hate him.
Suck.
Hey, man, look, if Hillary Clinton becomes president, so many people hate her.
Oh,
so.
They hate her.
And that, to me, is an electability issue
so
also. That I feel like doesn't,
huge.
Like, I feel like Bernie Sanders,
she's the most
like
hated
Obama.
Woman in America.
I think when you've been
can
around...
Can you name a person that's more hated, like a woman that's more hated than Hillary Clinton?
Oh, no. Woman?
Monica Lewinsky?
Did the San Bernardino terrorists die?
Oh, yeah, she died.
She died.
But also,
no, I can't.
Literally, no one knows that woman's name.
But all right, so,
any woman that is... Can you name a strong, right. confident woman that is not hated by half of the country?
No.
Hillary Clinton has been around for 30 years, and now I think... Maybe Obama made this happen. I think he did. George Bush, too, a little bit in 2004, where you're voting for the brand idea more so than ever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Obama was a... God, I sound like a real douche when I say that. But, like, Obama's like a brand that you vote for, and Bernie Sanders is a definite brand that you know
Agreed.
What you want to get. And
right.
Hillary Clinton isn't, because she's been around before that was the trope of how you burst onto the national scene. And so she's sort of there, warts and all. And it's the negatives are baked in, but I also think, you know, who knows what... I think you have to decide the electability aspect. You have to decide, like, how good you think the candidate is. Like, because there's stuff about Bernie Sanders that not many people know.
I agree.
That, like, I could run an attack ad against Bernie Sanders right now, 30 seconds, with, like, clips of him from this year that I think would be very off-putting to a lot of people, which I'm very worried about as a Democrat.
Yeah. I think, to me, electability, the only reason I bring it up is I feel like that was the argument against Bernie Sanders for so long. Like it was the argument against Barack Hussein Obama, where people mm-hmm. were like, "There's no one's ever going to elect this guy."
I was making that argument before I fell in love with him. I was like, "Wait a minute, what?
We're not exactly."
And I've said this on our show before, but in early like 2007, I was like, "What? Our front runners are a black guy and a woman. Like, we got to be George Bush's successor."
No, seriously,
America will never elect a woman or a black guy.
And
why,
it's not
like
why
not?
They're more likely to elect a black man than a woman.
I genuinely think that because. I think Hillary Clinton, I don't want to say like more or less, but I think Hillary Clinton's biggest road to electability is that there are many more men than maybe a lot of us want to acknowledge who are fine having a female coworker who makes 77 cents on their dollar.
Totally.
Or fine having a coworker, but are not fine with them being the boss.
Exactly. And you know, and part of the reason that, I mean, I think I'm leaning Hillary, and we've talked about this. I do think it's so important in other countries. Every other fucking country has women in charge.
Yeah.
They've all had women as prime ministers. They've all had women. I mean, Iraq has more women in their elected offices than we do.
Yeah.
Because no matter what, we still have this, like, this bias against women. And
it's at a very low level that I think Hillary Clinton being elected would take away.
I hope.
You know, you want to run for county registrar somewhere in Roanoke, Virginia, let's say. I just watched a show called Salvage Dogs on DIY, which is set in Roanoke. So if you're ever, like, county commissioner in Roanoke, and you're a lawyer who's a female and a lawyer who's a male, and you both want to run for a Republican or Democratic nomination for county commissioner, let's say, and you go around, you ask people for money, people will give it to the man because they're more comfortable with that because they haven't seen it. They will always default to that.
Yep.
There's an entire, Emily says, there's an entire organization devoted to raising seed money for female candidates because that bias is so ingrained. And I think Barack Obama's is taking this away, where it's Ben Carson has not been a black candidate. He hasn't had to deal with that because Barack Obama's been president. It's just like, oh, here's another guy who's running for president.
Right.
I think that last thing is totally not true. If you search Ben Carson and the N-word on Twitter, you will find it a lot. It comes up.
Why are you
ton.
Why are you searching Ben Carson?
Seriously, literally.
Nobody copyrighted your rap song.
Literally, I searched it for this particular point in this argument, which is that people are like, oh, you know, if I vote for Hillary, you're not saying this, but people do say this. And to me, it's like part of the Bernie bro narrative, which does feel very magnified. But the idea that if you're not voting for Hillary, you are in some way inherently sexist, to me, just logically doesn't play out.
Bullshit.
I think that's like agree if that. You agree with that.
Right? That if you like,
nah. No, I do. I think the Bernie bro thing narrative was. I think earlier in the campaign, that was a decent, like, if you look at the polls, his support was skewed way male, and now it's pretty even, mostly because of young people have flocked to him.
But also, Bernie is Jewish and also non-practicing. So that's a huge plus.
I wanted to talk to you about this, Mike, because you brought up You brought up electability.
He's different.
And what Trump might say in a debate. I mean, Trump has questioned the fact that Ben Carson's a Seventh-day Adventist. He's questioned the fact that Ted Cruz is a Cuban evangelical, and that doesn't add up.
Also from Canada.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But wait till he gets his hands on an atheist Jew. I mean, you don't think that those dog whistles or Trump doesn't even
use
the whistle?
I think the idea that Bernie is, to me, I guess, electability, and I brought that thing up before, so maybe I'm being a hypocrite here, but to me, electability really, I hope, is something that everybody can just look beyond. Do you know what I mean? Like, for us to make the decision for another person, I'm not going to support Bernie Sanders because some guy in Arkansas is not going to support him, who I've never met before. I don't know anything about
him. I am an atheist, and I'm not sure that the country is ready for an atheist president. But
you were wrong about Obama.
I should vote for the atheist because I'm an
no,
atheist.
No, but I feel like Hillary and Bernie are equally unelectable. I do.
I think he's a socialist,
that he's an atheist, whatever, but he's inspiring. You could say Hillary's a robot. She's a, you know, and this is another thing too, that is difficult for Hillary. Senators rarely win. I mean, Obama was a senator and he won, but they rarely win. And they hadn't won, I think, since Kennedy, some statistic, because they have a large record you can pull upon and say, oh, you voted for this in 1960, and you voted for this in 1980, and you're a flip-flopper and blah, blah, blah. And I think that's always the trap for someone who's been in politics for so long, and Hillary's just been around so long.
Bernie has a long record, too. I don't think new stuff is going to come out about Hillary. I think they both have negative...
No, but what I'm saying is that's why both of them are unelectable in a way, is that you can look at both of their records. But Bernie has been so principled, it's hard to say his record 30 years ago. It was the same as it is now.
But I think that's the best sort of argument in terms of, like, opposition research and what... I think we know what they're going to throw at Hillary, because they've already thrown it at her.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if they can carry on like Swift boat veterans, like he fought in the war and George Bush didn't. Like, what are they going to do to Bernie?
I have comfort in the fact that Hillary has had negative campaigning against her happen for 30 years. People have been calling her a murderer.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I will vote for Bernie Sanders if it turns out she did kill Vince Foster. I'm still searching for the real killer, OJ style. But like, it's not that like, oh, well, Bernie's going to get crushed or anything like that. It's just I have confidence that I take comfort in the fact that Hillary has responded to massive, multi-million-dollar, multi-year smear campaigns against her,
and come out.
And a lot of it is stuck. A lot of people don't like her, but like, she hasn't committed crimes. She hasn't done anything tangibly wrong. It's just like, oh, that's justification for people not to like her. And Bernie Sanders, like, it's because it's not a negative campaign. It's like the jury's out on that. Like, how he would respond.
Totally agree.
How he would respond to like Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz running an ad about how he went to Cuba or somebody where he visited the Soviet Union.
Yeah, but you know what's interesting? I think Bernie and Trump are just so above it in that they're so on message. And now Trump's message is a garbage message of like bullshit. But, and
I don't think it's bullshit.
Make America great again. Okay, also, what the fuck? What does that mean? We're going to win? What are we winning? This isn't a competition.
The Republican Party has been so inept and bad that is a sensical position.
But
screw those guys who are in power. Let's actually do stuff. Is like, that's not a crazy opinion. It doesn't make sense. And there is a logic behind it. And I get why people support that.
I do.
I totally understand. Because especially for like rank and file Republican voters whose national party has let them down in so many ways.
When the national party is voting Democrat.
They should. You're seeking out other solutions of people with ideas. But when the national party said, like, all we're going to do is say no to Obama and you're going
to
get the country back.
To Obama.
Like, that's not a plan. And that's promising something you won't deliver. And they're right to be disillusioned and to go towards
Trump. Also, Trump is not even... like what you would call a lot of like historically conservative values. Trump does not embody those values.
No, it really is just a totally screw you to the Republican elite to be like, we don't want this anymore.
Right, but that's how bad the Republican elite has been, which is why
that's why I think that since it is going to be Trump, I think Bernie has a better chance of winning against Trump because can you imagine Trump in a debate attacking Bernie? Bernie is so good when he gets attacked. This guy doesn't believe in God.
What more do I have to say? This guy doesn't believe in God.
This guy doesn't believe in God, and he chose to go.
He goes, listen, people don't care about that. Well, all they care about is the 99%.
He wants to confiscate. He wants to tax each and every one of you. He said it. He said that. He said maybe we'll beat ISIS.
I feel
he went to Soviet Union on his honeymoon.
I'm just saying. I feel more confident.
It's a bad soundbite, but the point he was trying to make was somebody. Bernie Sanders, this is one of the reasons I also support Hillary, is that I just don't feel that Bernie Sanders has the requisite interest about foreign policy.
I agree. Yeah.
It's only this week that he's like,
I think that's a good way of putting it. I mean, I think that's hard to
do. He might
be
good at it. He might be good at it, but I just don't think.
It's not his passion.
It's not his passion. It's not what he really cares about. And I also feel like a little bit campaign wise, like he hasn't done a good enough job pretending that he cares about it, which that's just my, that's my personal opinion. But
the rest, everything else you say is complete facts.
100% fact, yeah. Just ask Barack Obama singing on the subway. This is where two beers, baby.
I always forget my point. That's part of it.
Oh, man, that's totally part of it. I got it. No, Bernie Sanders said, it was in, I think, the debate in South Carolina, and you can isolate it as the soundbite, which Republicans would do, what's your plans to defeat ISIS? And he basically said, the president's doing this, and concentrate drone strikes. I don't think we need a no-fly zone like Hillary Clinton suggests, and, things have been going well. We've, recaptured Mosul, and so maybe this plan will work. He said that's just a bad soundbite.
I'm glad you brought the no-fly zone, though, because Hillary is too much of a hawk for me. I mean, that's what's pushing me towards Bernie. On that
issue. For the idea of for what, for specifically for the no-fly zone in Syria?
Yeah, that is that a good idea?
I kind of think it's worth trying.
Are we going to get into a war with Russia if we do that?
Well, it's basically like Russia. If we don't,
Russia already said we're in a new Cold War.
Just throw up in your mouth when you said that.
I just burped.
if we don't do
three beers in now, Jesus Christ.
If we don't do that, I think that country turns into Assad versus ISIS, and I don't think that they have necessarily interest in fighting each other. So they might reach some sort of peaceful.
Think they do?
If they have their own separate areas, there could be a resolution to that crisis where two of the three warring parties. Well, the third party is what moderate. Rebels, which is 1,000.
And there's five of them.
I
really love how all the Republican candidates. There's actually right now a Republican debate starting, and we've DVR'd it. We're going to watch it after this. But I love how all the Republican candidates are like, "Oh, ISIS, the Middle East, we just do this and we won." Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
This is the most complicated, insane situation, I love the fact that the Democrats are like. Yeah. Fuck, yeah, it's a hard thing.
I think that idea of hawkishness to me is also, that would be, to me, in foreign policy, obviously that's where Bernie stands, right? The idea that basically intervention, which seems to have inherently been good in Hillary's eyes, and maybe that's an oversimplification, is not good. It creates a new monster.
I think that that's true. I think, there's a lot to be said for that, too. With the case of ISIS. And this is again. This one's my personal opinion, not out of my
copyright. Josh Patton, 2016.
America's Pack Buck. I think the threat of ISIS is way overblown for American interests, because it's the San Bernardino shootings are ISIS inspired, and so we're worried about more attacks like that. They're constantly invoked as to we don't want another San Bernardino. If they were those were easy. It's easy to buy guns.
And that's why we should just stop being able to buy guns.
It's so easy to buy guns. And the fact that there hasn't been more shootings like that is there's probably just not that many people who, buy into that.
Who want
to
kill themselves.
Who want to go on a murder mission for ISIS. It feels like maybe that's, and that's where, I think that Bernie Sanders might be right.
And this is going to get me maybe accused of being a conspiracy theorist, but I also think a lot of people get rich when you put boots on the ground all over the world.
Oh, well, the boot companies, for one.
Absolutely.
Boot people. But the insinuation that I'm making, which I will now explicitly state, is that I'd be more concerned about the kind of person who maybe is in bed with, so to speak, those people when those things happen.
Who?
All right, Hillary Clinton,
everybody else besides Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. And I'm not voting for Trump.
Bloomberg, baby. All right.
Well, Trump too, actually.
In our final section of this, I just want to bring up some of the attacks that these two candidates have had on each other, which I hate, because I like it. Both of them, and
it's
I
like,
can't
come on, guys.
Stand when they fight.
Mom and Dad are fighting, but and it's like, calm down, we like you both.
I think it's great, because I think it makes them each better candidates.
Maybe it makes them stronger. Yeah. Okay, so I'm just going to ask you guys to defend some of this. So, should Hillary Clinton have to turn over the transcripts of her Goldman Sachs speech?
No.
Is that a defense?
We're okay with
it? Is it all right? Okay, so let me ask it more open ended. Is it a problem that Hillary Clinton got? I just said Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Oh boy, Bernie bro.
Is it a problem that Hillary got $600,000 to speak at Goldman Sachs? Is she too cozy with Wall Street? Defend that.
I for one am happy that money is in Hillary Clinton's hands and not Wall Street's hands. I know that a bunch of Bernie supporters want that money to be with Goldman Sachs. They want Goldman Sachs to be richer. Yeah. They're like, I'd rather Goldman Sachs have that
$600,000.
She
took that money from them.
She stole $600,000 from Goldman.
She's doing the best she can in a pretty bad situation. But I mean, she made the decision to do those speeches for that money.
What do you mean the best she can in a bad situation?
Do you think that's a problem?
Because if she would release the transcripts, sound bites will be taken out of context and used against her.
Sure.
Because you don't do a private speech thinking like, well, what sound bite's going to get me here? Which I think people should from now on, because that's sort of what fucked Romney on the 47% comment.
Yeah.
Like, you should have that in mind now.
But I want to defend this argument, because as we're all in the entertainment business, no one has paid me $600 to give a speech. Full disclosure, I know no one's even paid me $600 to give a speech.
It's true.
Both are true. $600,000 or $6. Yeah. I've never been paid $6 to give a speech. But we know many writers, many actors, people get hired to give speeches all the time. Everywhere. And their keynote speeches, they're interesting people. These people have so much money that they have these conferences where they just hire interesting people to talk about anything. So as someone who knows people who give those speeches for a living, this is not in any way a shock to me that she got paid that amount of money. I mean, authors, just actors, politicians, everybody.
Your husband, even.
My husband.
Yeah.
But also, Charlie has never been paid $600,000. Please up his rate to $600,000. Yeah. Please, God, we will buy the best apartment ever if he got paid $600,000.
Right. But it's a huge liability, because that's so hard to explain to people.
Right.
Like, it can make logical sense, but logic doesn't matter. What matters is, like, what the takeaway is of, you know, she got paid a bunch of money by financial firms. That doesn't look good.
People, it's like Charlie got hired to talk for like nurses. There was like a nurses organization.
I've been hired to talk for all sorts of random organizations that I don't necessarily agree with or know anything about.
But if you were running for office against, like, you know, the pharmaceutical companies, you know, it could be like, oh, Charlie was hired by a nurses organization to give a speech in 2009. It would be like, what? I talked about some random ass video.
Then
I did.
You would just release the speech.
No, you wouldn't. Why because not? Because he's going up in a general election against Donald Trump. And until then, I'm not giving my speech out until Donald Trump has some. Because if I get the speeches out, they can take anything line by line in my hour speech. Yeah. They give a speech.
She probably started that speech by saying, "It's great to be here at Goldman Sachs," and it's going to be that. It'll be a quote.
I think you are right that
against
that
Bernie,
people
it makes
will
sense to not release to release it, but against Trump.
And also,
no.
Also for somebody who again has had a coordinated attack against her and her husband to take them out of power through any means necessary, through a Whitewater investigation that turned into the Lewinsky affair. Like, she's rightful to be suspicious that people genuinely want to see these things.
I also think that I think the best defense against it is what she's been saying is everybody else should have to, too. It's kind of like Obama.
Fine.
Obama has to show his birth.
As a Bernie supporter, great, show it all. Put all the speeches out there.
But
give that speech you gave to the Soviet Union, to the Politburo in 1989.
Give the speech.
His happy honeymoon.
That Bernie gave to,
keep up
bodega
the good work.
Hillary's not worried about what Bernie, it's not about what Bernie says, it's what Marco and Ted and Donald have said in front of audiences.
She's running a general.
Sure, but they're going to, if she's the nominee, they're going to hang that over her anyway. It's going to be doubly worse. They're
but I think
say,
she can
but
say,
they can't.
She'll say
they
right
probably,
back. And I want to, like, you don't think that Ted Cruz, his wife, worked there. He spoke to Goldman Sachs.
They're
sure.
not going
to
bring
they,
it
well,
up.
They've all spoken. Okay.
So
all right, let me ask a Bernie question.
Yes,
so here, you know, the big attack on Bernie is that he's going to raise taxes on the middle class. I'm going to keep hearing this. And it's all because of the single payer thing. So, you know, is it a problem that I'm defending it before I even ask it, but is it a problem that Bernie is on record saying, like, yes, everyone's taxes are going up to pay for my healthcare program.
I think it's a problem if you assume, which may be right, that the intellect of the average American is low enough that they won't get it. If it's like, hey, guess what? You're going to get money here and lose money here. And for them to be like, oh, well, let's see, plus five, minus three, golly, I ended up with plus two. And I do think that one of the things that does enable someone like Trump that we don't talk about on the left very much is I think that we contribute to Trump's also a little bit, and I know like we're just fucking around, but by being like, you all are stupid. And I think that buries those people, right? They're not going to give their opinions, but then they see Donald Trump rise up and they're like, oh, that guy thinks like I think. I'm not stupid.
The president
is going to be just like me, and then watch. Yeah. Everyone else is going to see that I'm smart because the president thinks what I think. Yeah. And so to me, I feel like if we... This is, I mean, I'm basically quoting The West Wing. But if we, like, raise the level of debate and go, you know what, actually, it is possible. There is a way in which we could raise taxes and you would also have more money. Yeah. Those two things can happen in the same space. I know Josh just isn't necessarily rosy on the aspect of any of that coming true, but I do think it's plausible.
Do you think that that's a plausible attack, this whole single-payer thing? Do you think it's a problem? Because you support single-payer personally, right? Like, if you could do a magic wand and we have single-payer, you would like it, right?
It depends on what sort of single payer. I don't know.
The best possible one.
I have a union. I currently have a union negotiated healthcare plan that I enjoy very much.
So do we.
Pretty much any single payer option would be worse than my
current
plan.
Can we just all say unions are the fucking best? It's great.
Oh, well, let me say this. My healthcare, I get healthcare through my employer, which is not through union, and I pay $3,000 a month for health insurance under the Affordable Healthcare Act.
But wait, you get it through your employer. How's that through?
It's not through the ACA. Sorry, it's what happened to my premiums when the ACA went into effect. So I pay way more in insurance than I did before. My wife is a nurse, and so just became a nurse, so we'll get insurance through her hospital, which will be much cheaper. But I can see a lot of people looking at their premiums like affordable my butthole. Yeah.
Charlie and I the same thing before we got because we're both self-employed and I qualify for SAG insurance, we've been on it for a few years now, but before that, like, as self-employed people, I mean...
Freelancers Union was not
was,
cheap.
No, it's not the worst. It's the worst.
It's not a perfect solution.
But you have cushy health care, so you don't want single payer because Writers Guild is better than single payer.
Hillary has a lot of plans to improve the Affordable Care Act it's the incremental versus whole scale approach. It depends on what sort of single payer it is because I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what the tax rates are. It's done in different ways in different countries.
But just
so
abstractly,
you can't say,
don't you think the government should provide health care to citizens?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Do you think it's a bullshit claim that Bernie wants to raise your taxes because he says he needs to pay for a single payer? Which, by the way, he's never going to get. So it's like, why are we even talking about it?
I think it's an unfair attack on Bernie Sanders. But I think if I have one tip of advice for the Bernie Sanders campaign, I think the big vice of Democrats is ego and elitism, which is like what you were saying about. Yeah, we sort of enable Trump people by saying, like, oh, those stupid rednecks, right? Yeah. Like, that's not – what do you do? That's for – when people say things like that, that's for the speaker. That's not to prove any point.
Totally.
That's to get out anger and to be validated that they're better. And that elitism, I think, like, Bernie Sanders – I'm choking on a pretzel. Thank God I have health care. Bernie Sanders does begin too many sentences with the following two phrases. What you have to understand is, and if you've studied the issue, you would know. Mm-hmm. And those just come off as they're real.
You think he's too didactic for Joe Dummy?
It feels condescending to you.
It feels condescending.
Joe Dummy.
It feels condescending.
Yeah, I mean, probably because I agree with him on nearly everything. I didn't even notice those phrases. To me, maybe I should have said this in the opening, but to me, this is maybe too extreme, but to me, the difference to me and something I wanted to articulate is that Hillary, like, to the government feels like most of the people in it are bought and paid for, right? Like Jeb Bush is a mouthpiece for industry X.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that's what Trump like is hammering him with.
Yeah.
So to me, I look at that on the right and I go, God, all these guys are shills for corporation XYZ.
But who's paying for Hillary? Because she supports Dodd-Frank. She's against Wall Street. Like what policies does she do that makes her in the pocket of someone?
That's a good, fair question. I don't think that it's something where like Hillary Clinton gets money from corporation X and she goes, aha, now I have money from Goldman. I'm now going to pivot the country 180 degrees to benefit Goldman explicitly. The way I think that kind of thing works is much more insidious. It's like, okay, well, you know, there's some, I get money from people who like fracking. So I'm not going to fuck with fracking here in the US, but what if we'll frack in Syria? We'll go frack. We'll put boots on the ground in Iraq. And when we get that, maybe we could frack there. It doesn't fuck with America at all. Doesn't mess up my people at all. It's totally chill to do it there.
Or we'll do it in this one state because we can get it through in this state, but not in this state.
Blah, blah, and to blah. Me, that is a systemic problem with American government that has to be addressed. And I'm not certain that Hillary Clinton does any of that, but it makes me antsy.
Okay, we're out of time here. Let's just get some final comments.
Okay, so, well, first off, let's get final comments from you, and then Charlie and I will tell you what we've decided.
No.
Is that what we're doing?
Very quick comments. Let's go.
No, I thought this was a real nice chat. I don't know.
The thing I was going to say before, and I guess it'll just be my final comment, is to me that American government is getting worse and worse in that direction. It becomes more and more bought and paid for. And it's happening, and it's going to make me sound like I'm wearing a tinfoil hat, but it happens with media too. Like all of it.
Oh, yeah.
Everything is, like you are looking at an advertisement everywhere you go. And to me, that is like, it's like a cancer. And to me, Bernie is saying, let's eradicate it, right? Chemotherapy. And Hillary Clinton is like, hey, let's take some aspirin. We'll give you some massages. Like we'll deal with all the symptoms of this thing. But underlying that will still be this issue that I feel like, and maybe Bernie's not the right guy to address it. But the reason I support him is the idea that someone will go, hey, man. I'm going to treat the cancer.
I think that what's most important now that Scalia is dead is that just one of these guys wins and we overturn Citizens United and we get back on the right track. But I will also say that I love that Citizens United has not been a factor so far. Like the people with all the money and the people the people that are spending all the money in advertising, like it doesn't matter. So like TV advertisements don't matter. Well, also people don't watch TV anymore.
Jeb is going to go down in history as the candidate that spent the most money in the shortest amount of time and lost.
God bless him.
So my opinion hasn't been changed. I like both candidates. I'm a slight lean Hillary. If Bernie wins, I would be ecstatic. If he wins the general, if he wins the primary, I'd be nervous. But I am impressed at how civil you guys were, and I think this has been a great conversation.
I'm disappointed by it, though.
I think you guys,
I do want everyone to know that on a personal level, I think that Michael Caine is a demonic asshole and deserve. I will punch him in the face right after this. Argumentatively, he's fine.
I mean,
you guys are more vicious than a Facebook comment window.
I'm voting for Trump. So
sweet, I did
and
it.
On that,
make
note,
America great again.
Make America great again. I want to win. Thank you for listening, and make sure you listen again and come see our show
on March 29th at UCB Theater East at 8 o'clock. We'll have a great lineup, and thanks to Josh Patton and Michael Caine.
And our show has been selling out every month, so please get a ticket early.
And to be clear, at the show you play the audio of what we recorded.
Totally. We just great. Okay.
Vote in midterm elections, everybody. Good night.
Hashtag Britain 2016.
Well, I ain't feeling happy about the state of things in my life, but I'm working to make it better with a six of Miller High.